Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
How you treat yourself is how you will treat other people. Whether you treat yourself, if you're not treating yourself openly, badly, you are treating yourself openly inside you. You are rebelling against yourself. You are angry with yourself. You'll be angry with the world. Whatever is going on inside you is what you're going to share with your world. Because I can't manage my husband's relationship towards me. I can only manage my relationship towards him. Now, it's the same thing you use for dating, the same thing you use for marriage, the same thing you use for relationships. That if you are going to influence people's beliefs, values, and opinions, you can't use force. You can't use your position of authority. You have to use relationship. So if there is someone in your life, you want the person to change the way the person is behaving, it means that you want the person to have a change of beliefs. And change of beliefs happen when you first of all befriend the person. Someone was asking us a question. If I discover that someone is of a different religion and I want to win the person to Christ, what should I do? Begin with relationship. Don't begin with, if you don't give your life to Christ, immediately you have hellfire is waiting for you. The person will say, if it is hellfire, let me just go and die there. The same way in the lives of your children, the same way in the life of your husband, the same way, anything that has to do with relationship, you don't use authority. You don't stand in your own house, the man of the house, in your own house, and shout. Don't you people know that I'm the head of this house? We know we are the head. So you don't use authority to command beliefs. You can't tell me now, I command you to stop loving Ben. I will take the command. When you go, I will do what I want to go do. Do you understand? That's why some people have eloped with their boyfriend, because he wanted to use command to force the emotion out of them. You can't legislate love. You can't legislate it. Now, as much as we have preached in this church, preached severally, there are things we can't force you to do. So you use relationship. Hello, Ella. You use relationship. The baby is waving to me from behind, so I need to wave back. Okay. Matter under discussion. While I was getting ready for this message, I told myself, if you have been in this local assembly for 10 years or less, we have been preaching to you about family. Today, you'll be the one preaching to us. And you're going to be preaching to us. I'll be asking questions. You'll be providing answers. Help me appreciate the gamers. Help me appreciate. I was watching the game. I don't know whether Pastor Peter and Pastor Derek rigged that game before the game started. Because the first person who, from the teenage church, the first person that jumped out of the game. Even Ebere, I know that Ebere know how to jump like monkey. I didn't know how she missed it. She jumped and then she jumped out. So we should ask Pastor Peter and Pastor Derek what happened to that game. I want you to give them a big hand. What they are trying to say, that in your own family, make sure that there is a lot of fun, there is a lot of laughing, there is a lot of playing. Okay. So whether you are preparing for marriage or you are growing your marriage, for those of us who are about to start, or those of us who are already in it, you are growing your marriage. There are some things I want you to know. Culture is changing. In fact, where we are now is called post-truth. In other words, we are behind, this is truth, we are behind it. So there is fake news. Not only are there fake news, there are polarization of opinion. So you can sit in your room now and fire news and say, in seven places, in so and so place, Christians, they are burning Christians. Everybody, share prayer. Or you can sit in your room and say, Reverend Ben commanded that all of us should fast and pray for 3 days. That he saw that something is happening. You can even phone your friends, say, once I post this thing, all of you post it at the same time. The news started from your own house. So we seem to be living in a time where lies look like truth. And as a church, we have a unique role to play. Because we're talking about thriving in relationship. What role are we going to play? We can't just fold our hands and watch. If we fold our hands and watch, things will go bad for us and our children and the generation that is coming. If we play it rightly, God will take the glory. Friends, truth is not personal. One day, Pastor Ben was saying something to one of the sons, daughters in the church. And that one said, is it your truth? Is my truth? I said, your truth? He said, Daddy, I'm being honest. And Daddy said, this is your honesty. I'm looking at it with 3D. He said, is it your honesty? It's my own honesty. The other day, I heard one other person in this church say, is it your attitude? It's my attitude. So, everybody seemed to have their own interpretation of what is truth. So, let me ask you, what is your own truth? What have you defined as truth? I don't know where they got that slang from. I think they must have got it from Emanuela. I don't know where we got it from. But it seems to be something that everybody, you have your own private interpretation of what all of us know that is true. So he said, what is true for you is not true for me. And then you hear somebody say, God is whoever you define him to be. If you define him to be three, he's three. Is it your God? He's my own God. Is it your prayer? It's my own prayer. We all know whom God has been. But we live in a generation where we have given another definition. Someone said, my spirituality can be customized to suit me, just like my meal at a restaurant. Is it your prayer? It's my own prayer. If my own prayer is 1 minute, as long as I pray, is it you I'm praying to? So I can customize anything. We are in a place where truth is scarce. I read something there. It says, post-truth world is this. Who says I'm right and you are wrong? Who even said it happened? It didn't. That's just you saying it happened. Who said it? Who said I'm wrong? So the matter is, it's somehow. We are in that place where assault is not punishable. Thuggery is not crime. Thuggery is a new way of saying you are a hero. Everything is now upside down. The question becomes, believers, what do you truly believe? What do you truly believe about love? What do you truly believe about marriage? Cohabitation is the new truth. As long as two of us, if we stay together in one house, we will save money. At least two of us will not be spending, you won't be paying house rent, I won't be paying house rent. At least we are planning to marry. The most important thing is that we will eventually marry. If I'm sleeping with you, at least you are my girlfriend. Two of us love ourselves. Eventually, I will still marry and I will still sleep with you. So why don't we start it now? So, believers, ask your neighbor, what is the truth? What did your neighbor say? I can create a truth now. I can create a truth now. I can sit down in this place and concur one message and tell all my friends. It will go viral. We will just hashtag it. It is our own truth. And all of us, everybody will be telling the story. I can decide now that my dog is a human being. I have one dog that is always angry. If he sees his owner, he's angry. He sees enemy, he's angry. You pass in front of he's angry. My dog needs inner healing. I can now say, there's a new way of doing inner healing for dogs. When you do inner healing for dogs, they'll become human beings. And all of you say it's true. We have started another truth. And before you know it, it will go viral. After some time, someone can pick it somewhere. I can decide today, I don't need anybody. I have my own camera in my hand. They'll put the camera in front of me. I'll say from today, I'm not a human being, no. I'm not a human being. I'm not a gorilla. And I can start dressing like gorilla. And then I can justify it. Say, after all, it is what you like that you like. I'm not a gorilla. Everybody say, okay, if she says she's a gorilla, why are you people questioning her? She's actually a gorilla. Followers will be following me. In the morning, I'll come out of the door. Is that the truth? Am I a gorilla? But I can conveniently convince people and I will have followers. That's where we are. So it is, this thing is having a challenge in our marriages. Like I said, we have been the one preaching to you. It's time for you to preach to us. So let's start from marriage. We're going to have a discussion. Discussion question number one. Are you ready? Ending a relationship is painful. It's painful almost, it's almost as painful as a divorce. Are you willing to look honestly at your relationship now to avoid the disaster of divorce? If you have been trusting God for a man to marry, and you have been praying and believing and so that something will happen, and eventually a man comes from anywhere, you look at him, he's a man. He's not a gorilla. He's not a man that looks like a woman. And someone says, let us take some time to look into it. Will you agree? I'm not the one that is talking. The microphone will be in your hands. I will just be managing time. Anyone you don't give me an answer, I fly to the second one. Ending a relationship is as painful as a divorce. Are you willing to look honestly at your relationship now to avoid the disaster? Even if you have not been trusting God for someone and then you are in a dating relationship or you are in a relationship that you are trusting that it will maybe lead to marriage, will you be willing to look at it critically to be able to show that you're making the right decision? Number two, as we finish this workshop, what are some steps you will take to grow your relationship? What are some things you will do in the light of what you have learned in Firm Foundation so far? Answers. The family workshop is finishing tomorrow. How many of us are in a relationship, whether romantic or non-romantic? Everybody is in a relationship. What are some of the things you will do to make sure that you deepen your commitment? Because in this month, we are deepening our commitment to Christ and to one another. So our commitment to Christ, what is the one thing you will do to deepen your commitment to your wife, to deepen your commitment to another family member? Who is going first? If you're not answering, I'll go to number three. What are the things you're going to do? Okay, someone is answering. One thing you're going to do to deepen your commitment to other people.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'll just try to be more patient.
You just try to be more patient?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Is it easy to be patient? So what are you going to do to be more patient?
It takes God to be patient. And it takes him. It's not all about maturity. It's all about God.
I want to understand. Okay. Explain it to you. I'm confused now.
Okay, for instance, I would say I get angry easily. But it takes God for me to be patient. Like, when people will ask me, like, Becky, why are you not married? You are beautiful. You are a very good person. You can cook. You can this. At times, patience. I have this problem with patience because I don't take
nonsense.
Like, I don't take nonsense
from
a man.
You don't take nonsense at all.
Do you understand?
Okay, so, from a man.
From a man.
Will you take from a woman?
Yes, because she's a woman.
Okay, you take from a woman, but
yes,
you take from a man.
Not from a man. So I sat down. I was like, why is this thing not working? So I just learned to be patient.
Okay.
Because men, they are, because it's a different
men,
person.
Men, they are
very. Okay.
My love, I want you to go. We are in a blank talk. I want you to be blank.
Men are very commanding.
Yes.
They want to be a man. I know you are a man. At times, praise the Lord. At times,
one house, please. One house.
They want to be a man. You are the man. I know you are the man. But at times, just allow me talk. It's not brings about argument. Right now, I don't argue again. I just pray about it. And like, God, just give me the grace to be patient. Because I'm in one serious one now. Do you understand? I realize, at times, I'm just happy. God, I just thank you because I'm single. Because I wish I was married.
What would have happened?
Yeah, because I have this
you forestalled the man.
Yeah, I can't. No, I just thank God for the grace of giving me to be patient. We just need to be patient with them so I can be married.
Okay, so you're telling the women. So you are hearing that we need to be patient with our men so that we can be married. Thank you so much. She says she's going to be more patient. What are some things you will do in the light of what you have learned in Femme Foundation? Pastor Ben have been teaching. By this time last year, we had one house. By this time last year, we had family workshop. What you have learned in the last 1 year, we talk about family a lot. We are family. We are a family member. What are one of the things you have learned? One thing you have learned in the life of being family that you're going to implement in your life. Someone said, I want to be patient. Who else is going? Yeah, you're not a boring church. What are the things you will do to be patient? Okay, Pastor. I'm going on the next question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very well, how well do you know your significant other? What can you do this week to grow your relationship and get to know your significant other better? Those of us who are yet to be married and there is someone you are dating, you are in a relationship, how well will you say you know this person? And those of us who are married, you can also answer the question. And if you know the person, if you know this person, the next question I'm asking you is, what else will you do to grow in your relationship so that you know this person better? Any answers? The reason why I brought out, if I don't have any answer, I'll go. The reason why I brought out this is because I'm talking about sex. Most times when people are in a dating relationship and you are not stretching to know the other person, then you introduce sex. You have introduced it very much, very prematurely. The moment you introduce sex, the energy and the power you're supposed to use to know this person, who this person is, you are going to divert it in sex. And once you have gone to the sexual part, you have gone to the forbidding part. To come out from that place and try to know this person. In fact, when you sleep with someone, you will tell yourself you know the person very well. So while you are in a relationship, you're going to save your energy and your power to get to know this person that is in your life. Knowing someone takes, first of all, God. You put your knees on the floor to say to God, this person that has come into my life, Lord, I need you to show me who this person is. It was Benihin that said, violate my will, and do what you want. He was saying to God, because the Bible says he won't violate your will. He said, I give you the permission to violate my will to do what you want. Now, when we have to talk about friendship, a lot of times, I was sharing with one of my daughters today, a lot of times, we think that what makes you and someone to be close is once you people trade secrets, you are now very close. It's not true. Because friendship and relationship is supposed to happen organically. If you begin, love has three triangles. Okay, I told them I don't want to talk about love today. There are three triangles. You have the passion, you have intimacy, then you have commitment. Most often, if you meet someone and you begin trading secrets, eventually this person may be attracted to you out of pity or may be attracted to you out of sympathy. You might not be able to know the true meaning of this friendship. The friendship is supposed to be that we are discussing our normal life. If you met the person where you are going to go for admission, you're going to enter university and you met the person at the admission spot, you'll be talking about admission. And then from admission, you start talking about the school. And then you talk about the weather. And then you talk about, you don't start talking about yourself. You don't say, the person have told me secret. Let me tell the person my own. How do you know that thing the person even told you is really a secret? Because we live in a post-truth. Except by the discernment of the Holy Spirit, the person may just be talking because the person has an agenda. So it is not the secret you tell me about yourself or the secret I tell you about myself that bring us close. Friendship, relationship is first of all ordained by God. And that's why we pray, Lord, as I step out today, the people you have put into my life, it may lead to marriage, it might not lead to marriage. The people you have put into my life that I'm supposed to fulfill destiny with, I call them forth. Let our paths cross. Now, when you pray this prayer, you must have the second skill. The second skill is the skill of developing relationship. Where I'm not coming to this relationship, the only reason why I'm in this relationship is that I want your life to be better. Everything I'm bringing on the table is for your life to be better. And when we are stretching relationship, you must also make sure that the other person is managing himself towards you. Listen. If a hija is my friend, whether it's a romantic relationship or not, I am responsible, a hija is responsible. Where irresponsibility and rascality comes is where a hija will expect me to use my energy and power and begin to manage his connection towards me. Mm-mm. If you're going to be frustrated, and after some time you'll be so embittered that you'll leave the relationship. It is supposed to be that I hold my part of the connection, you hold your part of the connection. That is responsible adult. I'm managing what this, I know what I feel towards you. I'm managing it towards you. You're managing it towards me. Just imagine that you are carrying a bottle of water, I'm carrying a bottle of water, and all of us are supposed to fill a tank. And then I carry my own bottle, I pour. I go back, we're supposed to bring 10 bottles. And then where I was going, I fall. I was not able to take the second bottle. And then Ehije comes and he looks. He says, since Pastor K did not bring the second bottle, I will not bring my own. You are an irresponsible person. Because you have allowed my own irresponsibility or weakness or whatever it is to determine your behavior. Have I told you before? You may not reap where you have sown. But definitely, whatever you sow, you will reap. So, listen, whatever you learn in a relationship, you learn for yourself. If you're in a relationship and you are treating the other person right, and the person refused to treat you right, I know that I am a princess of the king. When the Lord decides to reward you for all those things where they're calling you foolish person, you'll be amazed what God will do for your life. Do you know that God uses human beings to reward another human being? God will never jump down from heaven. Anything he wants to do for you, he will use another person to do it. That's why you must grow your relationship. It is in your hand to grow. Nurture it. Relationship is like a plant, a seed you have put on the floor. You must go and nurture the relationship. You must ensure the relationship grow. That's why they gave us a spirit. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is called self-control. It is not your friend control. It is self-control. It is put in you to control yourself. Has it happened to you before? I have given this illustration. I'm not tired of giving it. You are moving on the road and a pack of pigs. You are wearing brilliant white dress. You have a meeting with the president of Nigeria. And you're supposed to make a presentation. That's supposed to put $1 billion into your pocket. And you are running to go and meet a set of pigs jumping into a swamp. And they did like this and splashed on you. Say, I'm angry. I'm very angry. I will teach them a lesson. You yourself, you jump into, but I don't know, who is the pig? Oh, you are going on the road. Someone is, then when they used to be bike, you are inside a mana pumping car. The sun is as hot as it is this week. And someone, a bike man passes, brushes you. And then you roll down your car. To say, what happened? He said, look at you, so far head. Now so far go kill you there. And you come out from the car. I have seen this thing happen before at Sapley Road. I've said it several years. This thing happened to someone that's close to me. He was driving at Sapley Road. He was trying to make this tipper, a man inside a tipper without dress, we just wearing this and held his shirt by the side, threw away pure water bottle. On front day, he rolled down. You know what he did? He wore suit, he wore tie, dressed well, wear better cloth. Came out from inside his car and everybody were honking, jumped on top of the tipper, he said, I will teach you a lesson today. I looked at him and I said, no need. More than just swap car. Let him just go there so that you go there. You're supposed to be the one there, not him. It's just like just put him that way. There are some people who are well dressed who are very mad. There are well packaged mad people. That is why when you are going on the road, person slap you, no quick slap him. You don't know what thing they follow him. Last week you heard a story of a woman. She and her husband were bim. The husband was on the floor. Now she is jailed. Whether she is there or not is a matter for symposium discussion. Question number three, all relationships take work. What can you do this week to show your significant other that you're willing to work at your relationship? No relationship will work by itself. If you want your relationship to work, you begin first of all spiritually. Anybody, anywhere you see someone say, I'm enjoying my relationship, let the person sit down and tell you what he tolerated. Let the person sit down and tell you some of the things, some of the times that he was supposed to talk, that she was supposed to, or he was, he just did. As if you see husband and wife, where should we be? Maybe the two of them wore jeans and talking and wore the same shirt and wore the same canvas and they're smiling at each other. It's not all the time that they're sweet like that, too. Sometimes we're trying to cover something, but some of that time they have walked through a process. Relationship takes work. What will you put in your relationship? What work will you do? There are some times you have to eat nonsense for the relationship to work. There are some times you just allow what the other people call insult, say, they do this thing to you. If they do this thing to me, I'm not agree. If anybody try this, I'm gonna finish the person. Nah, lie. Just let God put a camera in the person's house. This thing, they are doing worse than that. He hasn't said anything. Relationship takes work. So which means you don't come into relationship broken. You come into relationship healthy. If you come into relationship broken and someone is broken, the person will break you into pieces. If you come into relationship healthy, let me explain to you something about inner healing to you. When you go to inner healing, we're not saying that someone will not hurt you again. We're saying that when the person hurts you, your reaction to the person will be different. You understand that this person who is doing this thing to me is sick. And because this person is sick, I will have sympathy. So you have a change of perspective and you have ability to understand people from another level. People have gone through things, so relationship is hard work. Let's begin from the first hard work of relationship. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's taken for granted that if Jesus came to this world, all of us will see him clap and say, oh, Son of God, we receive you. Oh, the Father has sent you to us, we receive you. Did we receive him? We didn't receive him. We even killed him. We beat him, flogged him thoroughly, killed him. He died. We just want to be sure that he's dead. We buried him. He resurrected and he still came back for us. That's hard work of relationship. And you are here to be like the Father. Look at your neighbor and say, are you willing to grow relationship? I didn't say fantasy. Stop watching a movie and then think it's relationship. So for say, I like Oyibo. There's a big play love. Well. How many do you know? How many do you know personally? How many have you lived in their home with them? Then you say, based on this, Oyibo Sabi play love. Well. Say, black man, you know Sabi play love. Oyibo, he Sabi play love. This is a script someone wrote and you watch it and you say, ew. Action. It's time to ask God to give us endurance at working our relationships. Especially those of us who are married. You have to walk it. Friends, nobody told me that the road will be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. You have to walk it. If two of us are willing to walk our relationship, we can redeem it. If we're willing to walk on our connection, trusting God. Not I'm walking, you're not walking. If I'm walking the relationship, you're not walking from the relationship, after some time I'll be exhausted. And when I'm exhausted, the thing will drop. So relationship is in the hands of two people. There is one you should bring. There is one I should bring. Listen, your husband has weakness. Your wife has strength. Your wife has weakness. You have strength. All of us must learn how to staff around each other's weakness and strength. That's the work of relationship. Number five, dating for, read with me. Will help you get past simple infatuation and get to know one another better. How long have you been dating your significant other? What ways have you gotten to know each other more than during that time? If you start relationship, they sweet. Very sweet. You'll be hearing, I love you. I love you too. Am I talking to someone? Relationship, if you start relationship, you are blind to all the person's faults. No, don't kill yourself. It's normal because it starts first of all with simple infatuation. You must allow yourself to cool down. You must allow yourself. You don't say, oh, the thing sweet me. This, you just jump. When you jump, you may be jumping inside hot fire. Allow the chemical reaction, the thing that is holding you, allow it to calm down. Let it calm down. Just endure. Endure for the thing to calm down. And how do you endure? Listen, there are simple things you can do to make life better for yourself. If relationship is what you're going to do all your life, and you see that the thing is pushing you, go. Mercy, go. Mercy, Clement is calling you. Mercy, go. Use yourself, say, Mercy, I'm going back. I'm going back. I will answer him later. Why are you doing that? You are doing that to give yourself time to be able to think, to be able to pray, to be able to ask questions. Ladies and gentlemen, once someone is in love, I don't give the person counsel. Because if I give you counsel, you hear something else like you saw yesterday. They were telling someone's story, the person heard something else. And you go back and tell the person, I made up my mind to marry you. He's my pastor. I'm sure my pastor was planning that he will marry your ass. That pastor, okay, I've always, the way he used to talk, I have left the church. Once someone is in love, you can't give the person cancer. You know what I'm saying? If anything happens, he hears something else. You must give yourself time. This person that is around me, who are his friends? This person that is around me, what is his culture? What are his values? What are his ideas? What are his opinions? And you ask him, hey, sweetheart, I attend a relationship meeting today. Pastor K said we should ask you about your opinions. Please, what are your opinions? Am I still your friend? Not only even in the relationship of dating, of marriage, even relationship with people that you're doing life with. I need to know. Listen, it's not all of us that are going to church are in church. Some of us are going to church. Some are going into church. Those two things are not the same. I need to find out what are your opinions. They say we have 12 cultures. They say, I don't care about these cultures. I don't care about it. I don't care. So I'm an Igbo man. I don't care about this. You already know where this person is going. Red lights need to be dealt with, even if it means the death of relationship. Ask yourself honestly, are there any red lights in your relationship? Any relationship now is easier and less hurtful than a marriage and divorce. For those of us who are women, I don't know how we deal with red lights. Because especially when a boy is very sweet and he has very sweet tongue, and he makes a mistake and has some kind of romantic voice, even if he wore it. And then he has a way of dressing well. And then his shoe woman, when you see him, comes out like this, na bobo. And they say, let the relationship die. Listen, some of the things that show up eventually in our marriages, we actually saw them during dating. But you know what we did? We winked. We winked and they said, he will change. What are you going to do to change the person? Okay, so when you come out and they say, Ben, are you willing to take K as your nini nini till death do you part? And I said, yes, I'm willing. So the moment he puts the ring in my hand, Cinderella will happen. Pyam! My mind that is thinking like Ugrim but no mind will automatically change. The marriage does not have the quality and the capacity to make the change. So anything you accept, you better accept it bata, and now start asking God, please help me with this thing. Don't marry and say the person will eventually change. We are praying about it. And listen, No pastor in this church will tell you to divorce your husband. We will always leave it at your choice. We'll give you advice, and they will leave it at your choice. Say, they beat my husband, beat me today. He was beating me on the head. Now he beat me up a court. Say, my dear, you know that. Go and find out what God is telling you about the marriage. Action. Take time together now to pray and ask God to help you see your relationship clearly, including any potential red flags or any places where tension may arise for those of us who are single. What boundaries do you put in place to protect yourself from sexual temptation for those of us who are not married? The whole of February last year, we talked about six or seven act play, and it was about to how to start from dating and then get to the end. You need to get the message and listen to it again. So I don't need to overflog this one. Sex is overrated. Everything is about sex. So I don't. In fact, now people don't say they sin when they have sex. So you must put appropriate boundaries. When the fire is burning, don't ask yourself, how close can I get for the fire to burn me? Don't ask yourself. It's a very wrong question. He said, let me wait. Let the boy stand well. When he stand well, no. When the fire, don't wait for the fire to start. So give yourself appropriate distance so that the fire will not burn you. Action. Pray and ask God to help you focus on getting to know the person you are dating and ask for his help in saving the sexual part of the relationship before it starts. Distance complicates growing the relationship. But if you use the right tools, you can have a healthy long-distance relationship. Whether or not you're in a long-distance relationship, what are the five things you can do to communicate better with your significant other? If your husband is not in Nigeria, or your husband does the kind of work he has to be around this week, and then the other week he's not around, or your husband has a kind of work where he has to continuously travel, it means you must devise healthy tools to be able to keep communication. And technology has made it easier for us. If you're not using email, you are using social media. If you're not using social media, you are using video calls. If you're not using video calls, you are using, except your husband is in the Unigiri manor where there is no this thing. But even that, you can climb on top of the tree and say, if you love something, you hold phone like this, you want to talk to your wife, you have not gone to see network, you move around like this, say, I can hear you, you move again. If they say climb on top of tree, you look for someone that will help you so that you can keep the communication. And if it is someone who is not married, before you marry, find a way for two of you to be around the same city. Except the Spirit of the Lord expressly opens something to you. Listen, there is nothing as terrible as a root shock, where you assume that this person is like this, and then you discover that he's like this. You can't have all the pictures, but you don't need a root shock in your life. Do you know, if we are staying apart, I can be Queen Eliza. Everything I'm doing is telephone talk. And telephone talk is sweet talk. Hello, baby. I'm fine. How are you doing? Have you eaten? What did you eat? Oh, you sound so tired. Why don't you lie down? Meanwhile, behind this beautiful voice is a Jezebel in making. We need to find, what are the five things you will constantly do to communicate better in a long-distance relationship? If you are considering entering a relationship that previously ended, you need to carefully weigh the positives and the negatives. Ask yourself, question number one, can you help me? Why did we break up the first time? Please, when you ask yourself this question, don't just remember the only the time that two of you used to hold hands like this and go to Kada to sit down and look to each other's eyes and eat. Don't remember only that. Take an appraisal. What went wrong? The positives and the negatives. And then ask yourself, what has changed to lead to the reuniting? The things that made us break up, has it changed? If it hasn't changed, why are you going back? Is it fear of the unknown? Or is it God that is bringing us back? Am I still your friend? What are some potential trouble areas you have seen before that you may encounter again? There's nothing as bad as marrying a manipulator. There's nothing as terrible I don't know about you. One of the things that hurt me so much is that I think that me and you are in the same boat. And then only for me to discover that why I am in a Kenedrichuku boss, you are in God is good boss. But you are using them because my eyes are closed. You are using, say, oh, my sweet wife, we are in boss, Kenedrichuku boss together. And then I say, only for me to get to the end of the road and discover that the boss is not a Kenedrichuku, that the one you are in is different. What were the potential troubles? Why did we separate? If we are coming back, those things I complained about, those things I raised, have they changed? You know, in this my life as a therapist, I've seen something. Someone phones from anywhere, say, and mention 10 things. He says, see these 10 things. I have told myself that I can't have anything to do with it. I've been dating this person for 7 years. I've been complaining about these 10 things. And one of those 10 things that you will tie wrapper. You tie to wrapper. You say, I don't like my wife wearing trousers. And two of you are young people. Say, you must tie two wrapper and one blouse. You have been complaining. I hate lies. The boy have been saying to the girl, my wife must tie two wrapper and one blouse. Oh, my wife must tie two wrapper and one blouse. Each time he see the girl wear trouser, he will complain to the girl, I'm saying to you. And the girl say, I won't tie two wrapper and one blouse. I won't tie two wrapper. Okay, I have gone away. Then 6 months after, he comes back. He said, I love him passionately. I love him. He said, that thing, two wrapper and one blouse, has not still changed, though. My wife must still tie two wrapper and one blouse. And then 1 year after, they are married. And the boy said, the two wrapper and one blouse. He said, oh, you are mean to me. No, he wasn't mean to you. He told you two wrapper and one blouse before they said, oh, your mother said, go. You said, oh, yeah, you have finished the game. You said, well, no, now you are the one that is cheating on him. He said two wrapper and one blouse from the beginning. So if two wrapper and one blouse going, two wrapper and one blouse going, two wrapper, who is going? Two wrapper and one blouse. He said, I'm going. Two wrapper, the boy is driving. Two wrapper and one blouse. Two wrapper and one blouse. You say you enter. Now we have gotten to destination. I said, no, no two wrapper and one blouse. Now I want you to listen to this story. They now ask you, where do you want to leave your husband? He said, I'm tired of this marriage. I don't want the marriage again. So just imagine you are sitting with your pastor or counselors. They say, my dear, BC, is your husband beating you? No. Is he flogging you? No. Is he biting you? No. What do you want to leave him? He said, I should tie two wrapper and one blouse. Then they will ask you, is this the first time you're hearing it? He said, no, he was saying it. I didn't know he was serious. Now, if you have been in a relationship and the relationship fails, and you quickly start another relationship, you may be in a boomerang situation. In other words, your heart cannot contain the loneliness you are feeling, and you are looking for something, whatever it is, to quickly meet that need. It's not necessarily that you are looking for a relationship. Those of us in that healing will tell ourselves that you didn't allow yourself to be healed. What happens? What are some things in your current relationship that will help you feel confident about the old relationship? I'd like to quickly get to marriage. So let me get to marriage. Growing your marriage. What do you do individually? I would like one or two couples to answer me. What do you do individually and as a couple? What did you do to prepare yourself for marriage? What would you do anything different today if you could have a do-over? Microphone. As a couple. I want to begin from Pastor Ben. Okay. Since he says his own all the time, Pastor Derek. When I know you're in a relationship, put microphone in your own mouth. What are you doing now to prepare yourself for marriage? See the way everybody's looking at you.
Okay, for me, the biggest thing is to be vulnerable.
You want your coffin?
Be vulnerable.
To be vulnerable. Big yes. English. Bring it down for me. What does to be vulnerable mean?
Okay. To be vulnerable means to me to to let out your feelings and leave the person to deal with it the way the person wants to deal with it. And it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing because you don't know if it will be trampled upon or if it will even be attended to. You know, so, but that's what I'm learning at the moment.
That's the only thing you are doing to prepare for marriage?
No, there are several others.
Give me two more.
Of course, I'm studying some books on marriage.
No, in this church, we're always reading. This church is a university. What are you doing practical things you are doing to prepare for marriage?
I'm learning how to spice up and then...
That English is too big. What does spice up? Are you putting pepper and cinnamon? What are you doing to spice up?
Okay, like I said, I'm learning how to fire up and maintain.
Fire up? What are you firing? Okay. Thank you. At least he's bold. Can I get one person? What did you do as individually and as a couple? What did you do individually to prepare yourself? You prepare yourselves for marriage. Who is going to any couple, individually or corporately? What did you do? Okay, to prepare yourself. Thank you so much. What did you do?
Well, back then, the first thing back then, we were asked to attend marriage class.
Okay.
That was the main thing to do. Apart from, you know, then we were not in Fem Foundation, we were asked to read books. You know,
okay.
Then. But I was lucky I read one book by Bimbo Odukoya then that really helped. Then what I would do differently now.
What did you learn from that marriage that you put? From that marriage school? You know, all of us, they go school. Some of us have 5 certificates here now. What did you now take from that marriage school to put in the marriage?
We were taught how to wash toilets and it should be clean so that our husband will be happy. How to lay bed.
It's a good training. Some of us here don't know how to lay bed.
But the basic relationship, those ones were not really there at that time. That's 12 years ago.
It's a good training.
Yes. The main thing I learned inside, because I did pepper that time.
You did pepper?
That time.
Pepper them guys.
What I would do differently now?
Yes.
First thing, I would follow him to his village first to go and know the nitty-gritty in the village.
Why? Yes. Come this way so that the camera goes. Why will you follow him to the village? Okay, no, thank you. Why will you follow him to the village?
So that I won't receive the shock. You know, there's this culture shock if you don't go to the village.
Did you have culture shock after you got married?
I had culture shock.
Do you mind sharing with us a bit?
Is here.
Marriage is not a one-day affair. You can see me now. Everybody from my family that have a biological relationship with me, you have to cross. It will take me about 6 hours to get home. 6 hours. 6 good hours. Now, how did I now follow a total stranger? He just came and gave my parents money. And gave them Bonvita. Yes, I don't know whether it's new money. And yam and rice. In fact, they were sharing food. Nobody, as long as they have collected that thing, they didn't care where I was going. So the next day, it was only two of us. What if it was a ghost? God forbid. You must get to know this person because of culture shock and root shock. Time will fail us now to start for her to narrate to us one of those, some of those culture shock. Is there anyone you want to share with us? What would you do? What did you do? Married people. Daniel. Osai. What did you do? Albert. To prepare for marriage as a person. Even Ogie. And what would you do differently? Yes. What did you do? What is the problem? You are looking for microphone. Microphone is looking for you. Senior brother. Okay. Answer us. What did you do to prepare for marriage? Let us learn from you as a senior Bini chief. What did you do?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, some of us entered marriage abruptly.
I like that.
Entered marriage not 100% prepared. But we just loved marriage because of what we were seeing at home. I, as a human being, as a growing child, I made up my mind that at 25, I should be married. I missed it by 4 years. To be sincere, I was always in the midst of mature persons, old persons. I see their marriage issues. Let me share this. There's a woman in my father's house. Her name is Mama Ogo. She sells banana. I was helping her to arrange a banana one day, and while they were cooking with kerosene got finished, and the woman with sack of money in that apron. She told the children that until their father comes back, their father is a truck pusher. Until the man comes back at 7-8, that's when they will continue cooking the beans. And they should go and look for Gary to drink. So as a young boy, I was just looking at that. But I when I was about getting married, when I thought of marriage, I called my wife. I said, "Sit down. If you are cooking and there is no gas, what will you do?" She said she'll go and buy. I said, "Are you sure?" Because the woman is Igbo and my wife is Igbo. So I said, "Are you sure?" But apart from, I was always in church. I was a church boy. I listened to the seminars. I attend every wedding in church, so I hear every pastor's version of a marriage sermon. But to be sincere with you now, if I'm to do anything different, I will be open financially to my wife. To be sincere.
Awesome. You're a prince. Thank you. One more person. Who is going? One more person. What would you do different? Osai, okay. What did you do? And what would you do differently?
Coincidentally, we married the same day. He married in the morning, I married in the afternoon. Okay, basically, for me, I think after I left school, that was when I had my encounter with motivational books and all of this. Reading. I was a voracious reader. I became very principled to the extent that I basically didn't have any emotion. That all I could see then was right or wrong. I had the opportunity of knowing my wife for close to 9 years, but I could say that 9 years was 9 years full of my own level of foolishness. Because I was imposing and thinking that because I know this thing, you must know it before we get married. So that's, I'm sure it's God that communicated to my wife to marry me. Otherwise, my disposition then wasn't really friendly. I was just right, wrong, right, wrong. But when I came to Fame Foundation, that was the first thing that I adjusted in my life. I began to create some level of allowances for people to be themselves. You know, so that adjustment allowed me calm down to be able to marry my wife. If I'm to do something differently today, I'll be a bit more flexible. I will understand that human beings are human beings. Everybody cannot be like me. I will also understand that there is really no perfection. I had the privilege of knowing my wife for 9 years, but I will not still say that because we knew each other for 9 years, when we got married, everything went smoothly. We are still getting to know each other till this morning.
Last question. Okay. Mr. Jonas, that is Jonas want to ask. That Jonas, how long have you been married? 31. So you're a senior advocate. You're a general in the matter. Yes, as long as you make it short.
Okay.
What will you do? What did you do as a person to prepare for marriage? I'm coming for you, Ehiji.
Then, I read a lot of marriage books, foreign marriage books, and I know that their marriages don't last. There's too much of divorce, and I was prepared not to divorce my wife. I was a choir master in the then church, one of the most powerful holiness churches in Benin. Both Bendel, the then Bendel. Imagine a lady that can give me in 1986. He said, "Josie, I'm giving you 250,000. I want to buy a car to keep for me." And I said, "If I collect this money, I've accepted your marriage proposal. I won't marry you." So I refused that money. And she has retired. She retires as a matron. Then in Unibin, I was privileged to be going to there to be teaching them music, real classical music. And when I'll be going, I'll carry their...
What did you do? Just give me, what did you do to prepare?
To prepare
to marry Mrs. Jonax.
I made up my mind that marriage is a union of two good forgivers.
I say he's a senior advocate in the matter.
It's a union of two good forgivers.
Two good forgivers.
Yes. That there is nothing she will do that I will carry that thing to the next day. I don't know whether she's here. If I have a privilege of marrying another woman, I'll still go back to our Solar family.
This is blessed be's dad.
I will go back to that family. Even when my mother rejected, I was not going to marry a non-native. I said, "That means you are not going to come for a wedding." I waited and waited. So when I waited, she was not bowing down. I went to my side. "The marriage is this week. I'm bringing a car, a bus to carry you." Eventually, she came. I can tell you, ma, that before my mother died, every month, that one of the greatest mistakes I made, you know, the Igbo man is very proud of his wife. They call them Oriaku. Many of them,
tell
they don't,
them what Oriaku means so that some Ishan people will hear.
They come to eat money. Do you understand me?
We came to eat wealth.
Yes, eat wealth. So they don't allow their wives to work.
Are they hearing? Say it again. They don't
want. They don't want their wives to work.
Yes, are they hearing?
The average, forget about this new generation.
I'm telling
people.
You.
They don't want their wife to work. So the thing was too bad that my wife wanted me to open a business for her.
Yes.
I told her I did not marry you to come and work for me. I bought her a car. I have a bus. Take care of the children. Don't work. The highest you can do for me is to come to the office.
Yes.
And we worked in the office. And when the business crumbled, all of us are suffering for it. Yeah. What I mean is that if I have opened the business for her, the length of time in suffering wouldn't have lasted for too long.
Thank you so much.
So, Soma, finally, before my mother died,
yes,
she goes to the village every month.
That's your wife.
My wife. She's a Benin lady. Soup, two kinds of soup, go to the village and drop it.
For your mom.
For my mom. The entire kindred were gathered in our house. They say, Grace, when is your daughter-in-law coming? And that's why when my mother died, the whole village went into flames. Till tomorrow. And that was the woman my mother said, you can't marry a non-native.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. The coming together of two... The coming together of two what? Ehije, what did you do? It doesn't matter whether we have time or not. What did you do individually to prepare for marriage? Is Pastor Ivia is around, she? Oh, she has, okay. It doesn't matter. What did you do? We can phone her. What did you do to prepare for marriage?
In preparing for marriage.
Tell us the truth, oh, the whole truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Okay. We sat down and planned because I told her this is the kind of home I want. I want to leave my office and run home to meet my wife because I have a friend at home. That was what I, because I work in a place whereby some people, when they close in the evening, that's when they open their books they want to read because the lion is at home or there's no peace in the house. And I told myself, I don't want to live that kind of life. I want to get married to a friend. So we dated for quite some time. We're friends. No strings attached before we got married. And to a large extent, I think if I want to live my life again, I would want to live my life with her. Why? She has taught me patience. Let me tell you this scenario.
I love this church. I love the way you shout, Sarah, is true. It reminds me of a man of God. It's true.
There was a day I was tired. I was lying on the bed and she came and said she wanted to make the bed. I said, which bed? She said, the bed you are lying on, the side I'm not lying down. I said, are they coming to inspect this bed that I'm lying on? Or I'm already lying on the bed. What's the point of making it? I said, no, she wants it to be smooth. I said, but you have tomorrow morning to make it. What got me upset? Somebody's lying on the bed. You want to? She has this, I don't know whether it's within her.
But the business says evil spirit of cleaning.
Yes. If you allow her, she will use bleach to do anointing oil and anoint everywhere. But it's what I love about her because she wants everything to be spick and span. I love a clean environment. And she has actually made a huge difference in me, patience actually. I'm still learning patience. Yes.
So asked her to marry you. Did she agree?
Okay, good. The first time we were friends. So it's like, for me...
Romantically attracted to each other or you were friends?
Both ways.
Okay.
We were romantically attracted after we were friends, first of all. Then romantic attraction came thereafter. Okay. But the first time I asked her out, because for me, I can't have a relationship with him. As an adult, I feel, you know why we're friends, because romance has evolved despite the fact we're friends. I asked her out. She said I should give her time. I said, you're not serious. I've not been coming around your house because I didn't have a job to do or I was on serious. You know why we're friends and romance has been. So I just said, okay, bye, so long. So for 1 year, we just became friends. Hello, hi. Until I was sitting in church one day and she was leading prayers and something told me, see your wife there, the earlier the better. So...
the way when love take the sweet one for this church. Did you hear what someone said? He said, leading prayer is the new key. Finish what you are saying. And then, Kwakobom, you will give me that answer. What did you do? We're asking them so that you can learn, and then we're going to allow you to ask us one question. What? So, how did you now toast her? I'm interested in knowing. I've never asked you that question. Let me even know.
I don't think actually.
Okay, didn't tell her anything.
No,
okay.
No. I just
the
met
thing
her and
just
said,
happened.
Yes, it just happened. I just met her. Okay, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to do. Are you in agreement? She said yes, and then we moved on.
Thank you so much. Quackobob. Quacks. In not more than 150 words, tell us what you did to prepare for marriage. Don't allow Nigerians to intimidate you.
First of all, I had to ensure that I've heard from God.
Would you have anything against hearing from God? Continue. Some people are carnal. Continue.
Secondly, I had to ensure that I had attained, or I am daily attaining, the level of brokenness required for marriage.
Please, can you explain?
What I mean by brokenness.
No, you will explain tomorrow. Philip, give us number three.
Okay. Number three, I hate the word divorce. And I will first try and understand your opinion about divorce before I think about a relationship, regardless of what feelings I have. So that's something that I have in perspective. And I had a friend who has been my mentor for some years, and he told me one thing. This was a long time ago, and it's still the same as at now. He said then that I have been married for 10 years, and I am yet to have the first quarrel with my wife. And these are some of the things I had, you know, as what I'm looking up to, or things that I want to inculcate in my life. So these are some of the things that helped me. And of course, I had to pray. You know, that, of course, cannot be separated.
Give your wife. My son is raising his hand. I also ask him. Please, let the keyboard roll now. What did you do to prepare for marriage? Melvina, what did you do to prepare for marriage? Peace, what did you do? In not more than 150 words, what did you do? They say you were singing in the altar. What did you do?
I was singing.
We didn't do anything. My friend, what did you do to prepare for marriage? Huh?
Went for 96 hours.
Okay, she went for 96 hours. Give microphone to protocol. Melvina, what did you do to prepare for marriage? I'm coming to Pastor Derek. No need. Anywhere you go, camera will follow you. Just wait and answer. What did you do to prepare for marriage? And then Monique, I'm coming for you. What did you do?
Praise the Lord. Actually, to be sincere, I was not prepared for marriage.
Thank you.
At all. It was 5 years, 4 years after I got married, I became prepared. And that was when I think I got married.
Thank you. Pastor Derek, what did you do to prepare for marriage? And then we're going to pray. Pastor Derek, what did you do to prepare for marriage?
Is it working?
When you finish blowing that, you will tell me what you did. Portia, come and tell me what you did to prepare for marriage.
What I did, I was working. I was just working and working and just kept working. And I like the point, the way Pastor Melvina puts it. It couldn't have been put better. Just when you're thinking that you're doing a whole lot, you just realize that you're not doing anything. In quotes, is you get to start doing something when you are not married. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And the last one. Monique, what did you do? Well, you don't run. Don't run, because I will phone in. When you are talking, I will phone in. Say, I ask you a question, no answer. Just answer me. Say, when you are doing that phone call on radio, I will phone. Say, Monique, this is Pastor K. He didn't answer the question I asked you. Just answer now.
Shalom, family. I won't lie, I was not prepared. Honestly, I didn't know what I was doing. I remember that period. Funny enough, we were planning marriage already before I got a ring. So it was obvious that I didn't know what I was doing. But thank God, after the wedding, as time went on, still trying to know ourselves, you know, I got to realize that there's a lot we didn't know about, you know, and we're still in the process of knowing ourselves. Valentine's Day will make it 6 years by God's grace. So we're still knowing ourselves. We're in the working process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Finally, Samson, you don't need to stand. What did you do to prepare for marriage? Don't need to stand. Just sit.
For me, I thought I was. Because
if you want to stand, you are free. But you are carrying a baby. Go ahead.
Sorry. I thought I was. Because I grew to a stage where I just felt that there's sometimes I joke with her, like, even if you're not the one, I was already ready. So maybe the person I was going to date at that time was going to be the person. So we met when I, in quotes, felt like, okay, you know when you just like, I think I should get married. Even when I was not in a relationship, so it looks like. So I thought I was, because in preparing then, I thought what you just needed to do was to be stable financially, have plans, have goals, have visions for yourself. And so I felt I was okay for myself. I was good. I was stable. I could start. So I was like, okay. I was even doing better than some persons that were married already. So that was what I started, as in, I was already ready in my mind. Okay, yes, I should get married. So that's why it looked like it was fast, because I said, yes, I'm ready to get married, and we got involved in a relationship. But now, I just discovered that it's more than just being prepared. It's more than just being financially stable, because what I didn't plan for then was there are times where factors would happen that would change your stability. You understand? So I was not prepared was because 2-3 years into our marriage, that stability I felt I had, that was like very ready, you understand, was questioned, and I discovered I was not ready. So then, if I was ready, I would have known what to do when I had my low times. So that was just it. So what I felt I was ready, I wasn't.
I would like Pastor Ben to give us a round off. You have not asked me what did I do to prepare for marriage. I hate lies. I will tell the truth. I thought that because I'm a pastor, I've been preaching to people about marriage, I was ready. So I jumped in. And it took me 5 years to discover that I wasn't ready. So how many of us are preparing and think they are preparing and they are not really preparing? He said something very striking. He said he felt that once you are financially stable and you have gotten to the age of marriage, you are ready for marriage. So there are many of us. So I would like Pastor Ben, let Pastor Ben not lie to us. He doesn't lie. To even tell us, what did you even do to prepare for marriage? We will continue this discussion, not preaching, discussion, tomorrow. There are 10 more questions. Pastor, sir.
Thank you very much. It's time for us to go home. But I'm there with the mic now. Father, we thank you.
We're not thanking you anything.
I was listening to the tape by Don Odunze, A Blessed Memory. But one thing I just told myself, even when I was going to love my wife to death, that was the only way I prepared. That's the only way. That's the only thing I got out of it. So anything that happened in that marriage, I was going to take it. And there was not going to be another, there's no divorce, no another woman. But that just decision that this is for life, even before I met her. So that means that when there was turbulence, you could find a way on how to solve it. So that you have many keys, I assure you, all those keys will fail. Usai said, I had all the things. You see, many people like to study kingdom principles. But kingdom principles cannot be worked very well if there's no encounter. Value the encounter more than the principles. When you have an encounter with him, you can now operate, now to be patient, now to be aggressive, now to wait, now to even be passive. Is that encounter? And that encounter we see, Josie Jonas said something, said, too radical or too forgivers. Yeah. That you are not going to have issues, well, it will come. But are you really ready to lay it down and say, I will work out this thing. I don't want my wife to feel pain. And I don't want to have a divorce. I don't want to disappoint people. I just want to have a stable home. And so when the quarrel started, or we didn't have a, that was the stake. Just the stake. And it is confusing when you have already made that decision. But God will just help. And he's still helping you today because the stake has not been removed. Because even if you make the decision, it's not after 10 years. After 10 years, things can still happen. People divorce after 30 years. So it must be that till death do us part. You know, we don't have that vow anymore. There are some songs we sing. When success come my way, I will praise the Lord. When success come your way. It doesn't take somebody who is spiritual to praise God when success come. When trouble. Don't change it. When trouble comes my way, out of that trouble, I will praise him. And the troubles will come, the storm will come. It depends on where you are built on. And that's when you will now begin to see, you will now see the book to read. You will now hear the counsel. So it will now be that Osaina read the book two years before the marriage. He will not remember, because the Holy Spirit will take you back to that place. And I got it from Rick Warren. He said he just removed divorce from the dictionary. And said, we die here. This place, nobody is coming alive. We have entered this room. We must find a way. No, there's no exit point, only entry. And the key is missing. So if you are angry, we'll be looking at ourselves angry. Eh? I'm telling you, you work it out. You work it out. And I'm not the one to tell you that we have not quarreled. We have. So that you will not go and die. Or sing that you have sinned. No. We are two forgivers. In fact, this week, she told me I offended her. What will I do now?
But you offended me now. I wasn't lying against you.
We are sorry. God bless you. We're sorry. We're sorry. Life is not this thing. So that you don't create problems for your children. He said, no, no, no. It's my own happiness. Forget all those things. It's not your own happiness. It's our own happiness. God forbid now, if something happens to us, you will be affected. No, that's not it. If something happens to Pastor Charles and the wife, I will be affected. My heart will be broken. So it's not for you. We are working it out because others are involved. No greater love than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his brother. So when you choose to stay together in marriage, you are laying down your life to die. So that somebody will now say, if the two of them can work it out, my wife, our problem never too much. I'm telling you. God bless you.
Thank you so much. We'll pick it up again tomorrow. Just rise on your feet. We're going to pray generational blessing prayer. We're going to pray generational blessing prayer. While we were at this meeting yesterday, one of our daughters, the husband had an accident and nothing happened to him. While the service was going on yesterday. Nothing. In fact, he's back to work this morning. I just perceive that we should pray generational blessings prayers. Every blessing flowing in your generational line. It's not all the time we just do courses. From the very first person in your generation, I'd like you to begin to pray that that blessing will manifest in your own life on record time. Just lift up your voices. Every blessing flowing in my generation. Every blessing. The one that is dormant. The one that has not been activated. The one that have not experienced yet. Let there be an overflow. Every blessing. Every marital blessing. At the same time, let's pray for all our sisters and our brothers who are yet to come into the covenant of marriage. In 2020, we as a church, we are praying that all our daughters who are at that point, lift up your voices. Generational blessing, generational blessing. It shall come to pass in Fem Foundation. Generational blessing. Oh, blessing of the spirit, blessing of the soul, blessing of the body. None of our daughters shall be afraid that they will not be able to settle down. Lift up your voices during this family workshop. Lord, take us to your workshop. Generational blessing. Fem, can we pray for our daughters? Can we pray for our daughters? Even our sons. Can we pray for our sons and daughters? We release blessing over Fem Foundation. We release generational blessing. And then we're going to call for long life. We're going to call for long life in Fem Foundation. Lift up your voices. Call for long life as a family. We shall live long to fulfill the destiny we are called for. Lift up your voices. Lift up your voices. Call for nourishing relationships. Nourishing relationship. Our marriages shall be nourishing. Call for nourishing relationships. Oh. Call for significant marriages. Connection in marriages. Connection in marriages. give us the wisdom to weather the storm. Pray for your spouse that the fear of God will grip his heart, the fear of God will grip her heart. As I'm throwing these prayers, please just lift them. In this firm foundation, we declare that we bear children. We bear children. In firm foundation, there is no delay. Delay in business, delay in marriage, delay of every nature. The blessing of the Lord is upon us. Hey, no blessing shall be lacking in this church. No blessing. Blessing of health, blessing of miracles, blessing of vision, blessing of any kind of blessing. Today we stand and we break every delay. We break every delay. We break every delay. We command the chain of delay in the name of Jesus be broken by the power of God. We demand generational blessings. We demand generational blessings. There is a mighty hand upon the house.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.